God's been good to all of us. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 4. And all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark, and they brought up the ark and the tabernacle of the congregation and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. These did the priest and the Levites bring up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, to the oracle of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And they drew out of the staves of the ark, that the ends of the staves were seen from the ark before the oracle, but they were not seen without. And there it is unto this day. When you read some of the descriptions of the building of the ark, the building of the tabernacle, all the vessels and everything that was required for this church in the wilderness, as we like to call it, it gets pretty complicated, and it's a little bit confusing when you try to read it and try to understand what it's saying here. But I'm not going to get into that part of it here tonight. I just feel something on my heart, and something that those of you that have been here any length of time know that is my passion and it is my life, and that is to do the will of God. Amen. Amen. If I can just reach to somebody tonight, if I can reach to one person, I believe there's someone here tonight that could get the Holy Ghost. Well, praise the Lord. I do. I really do. And I want to just take my text tonight from the very last few words that we read here tonight. And there it is. There it is. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, there it is. There it is. That doesn't make a lot of sense right now. But we're going to get into the Word of God. Very practical message tonight. Nothing new, nothing out of the ordinary, but something that I believe that each and every one of us need to have deep, deep, deep in our hearts. Amen. Amen. Can we pray together? Let's ask for God's help. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Word, anoint it with your holy presence. Touch every heart, lay your hand upon us tonight. God, we give you honor, we give you praise and thanks for your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. You know, we've all heard this, I'm sure, that the beginning of a thing is not the most important part of a thing. Of course, there has to be the first step. But from the first step of a race, a running race, there are many other steps that have to be taken in order to get to the finish line. And the beginning of a thing is not the most important. It's really the end that says it all. And we like to hope and we like to have dreams. And hopes and dreams are exciting. But seeing them come to pass is actually more exciting. Praise God. It's a lot more exciting to see a dream come true than just to have a dream. And the scripture bears this out in many places, and we'll just get into a teaching mode here tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. And let's look at that scripture, and then we'll look at verse 1. But it says this, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Amen. It's not the will of God that we walk around boasting and bragging about what we're going to do. Amen. What we need to do is get busy working on our dream. Amen. working on our calling in life. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment. Amen. Well, how do you get a good name? Is it when you were born and mom and dad gave you your name? That's not really what your name is. Your name is your reputation. A good name, a good reputation is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Now think about that tonight. The day of death is better than the day of one's birth. And the reason is because we can now say, there it is. Here is my life. This is what I've done. It's not what I've said I believed. It's what I lived according to what I believed. And we're living in a time today, ladies and gentlemen, church, saints of God, we're living in a time when folks are looking to have just a little bit of input and a lot of output. Amen. Wanting to just do a little bit and then get a lot in return. And I'll tell you, if you'll live for God, if you'll live in the world and live for the world, you're not going to have much return. But if you'll live for God, you'll have great returns. Let's look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 tonight, and this bears it out even more. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, it says, give. Everybody said, give.
Give.
Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you met withal, it shall be measured to you again. And so let's look at this here for just a few minutes. I believe that what the Lord was giving us here is really where, as they say, the rubber meets the road. This is where it really happens. And so first is the action word, and that's action on our part. God has already given us the materials that we need to do the will of God. But the first word there is the action word, and it is give. Amen. And notice it just says give. It doesn't give a percentage, although we believe in giving and paying our tithes and giving an offering. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. But the tithes and the offerings are minimums. Amen. Those are just the requirements. And giving goes above and beyond financial giving to the work of God. It is giving to others. It is giving to one another. It is giving of ourselves to God and doing the will and the work of God. When we could be out fishing at the lake, we can do something for God. And there's nothing wrong with going out to the lake and going fishing. But you know what I'm talking about here tonight. There has to be a certain commitment level that's more than just coming to church and sitting on a pew. Well, praise the Lord. Give. Amen. It's a broad, broad subject there, but that's where it really happens. We give to God when we teach a Bible study. We give to God when we are faithful to the house of God. Somebody help me here tonight. Amen. We give when we go out of our way to bless someone or to say a kind word to someone. And we really are involved in giving when we reach out to the lost that's around us. Amen. It takes a lot of energy and it takes a lot of effort to reach out to people. There are so many problems in our day today. But Jesus just said simply, give. Amen. Young man, young lady, give your life to God. Just give it to God. And don't worry about anything else. Just give it to God. And something will begin to take place. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Now, the action is our part, the giving part, and the results are God's part. Amen. Because where there's no action, there can be no reaction. Amen. Where there's no action, nothing can take place. Everything just sits there. Amen. The land upon which my house sits tonight was just a barren piece of land. And it would just be an empty piece of land to this very day had I not went and purchased it and spent the time and planted trees and did all kinds of landscaping, and it's got a long way to go yet. But you understand what I'm talking about tonight. That's in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm, it's the same way. Amen. Well, praise God. You can't have victory if you don't have prayer. Amen. Amen. You can't have victory unless you have worship. You can't have victory unless you have the Word of God deep in your heart. Amen. Well, praise God. We can't have victory unless we have preaching. That's right. There has to be some action that takes place if there is going to be a good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Amen. We like that part where folks give into our bosom. But it's not going to happen until we get involved and we apply ourselves and do our very best to give in every manner and aspect of our lives. Amen. Our treasure, our time, and our talents. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And these are really the results of involvement in life, the results of involvement in the work of God. And can I just minister to us a little bit here tonight? Praise God. I don't plan to go a long time, but I'll tell you what, this is why laziness and wickedness go together. Well, praise the Lord. God can't use lazy people. Amen. We've got to be diligent. We've got to be busy. Amen. And laziness, the reason laziness and wickedness go together is because laziness is the idea of getting something for nothing. Somebody else is going to give me what I need because I'm lazy. Amen. Well, is that a little bit too hard tonight? I don't think so. Amen. That's why gambling is wrong. Amen. We don't gamble because we're not looking for a quick inheritance. In fact, Scripture says that an inheritance gotten quickly is not a good thing. Amen. What we must, what we receive must be the result of our labor. Well, praise God. I know that doesn't settle with the young people necessarily. We got some hard workers here. But I'm telling you what, God did not call us to lay around and play video games all day. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Just trying to do what I feel like the Lord spoke to me about. Amen. If we truly want revival in our church, then I believe tonight we've got to get involved in giving. And we're going to look at that here for just a minute. But we're not going to win folks to the Lord without sharing the testimony that you have. Amen. Going out of your way to make a phone call. Going out of your way to pick them up and bring them to the house of God. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. That means knocking on their door and inviting them. That means making a phone call and inviting them and letting them know that you are available to pick them up and bring them back when it's over. Amen. It means teaching a Bible study. Yeah, I thought it would get a little bit quiet right there. Amen. I'm telling you what, there's nothing more exciting than getting involved in a Bible study. That's I say that if you love people. If you don't love people, the thought of a Bible study is not really very exciting to you. Amen. But I'm telling you what, there are many, many, many opportunities that are around us if we would just step out of our regular routine Amen. And just invite someone and give. Well, praise the Lord. If you can't teach a Bible study, amen, there's enough folks around here that can. We'll get them hooked up with a Bible study. Amen. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Amen. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived. Everybody said, be not deceived.
Be not deceived.
You know, he wrote that because we have the ability to be deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. In other words, God's word is not going to return void, but it's going to remain true. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Praise God. And we know that applies to farming. We know that applies to righteousness and how we live our lives. Amen. But it also applies to soul winning. It applies to sowing the word of God. Amen. I was actually contemplating enhancing this message just a little bit by getting a bag and filling it with corn seeds and start spreading corn seeds all over the church. I don't know who's supposed to be cleaning the church, but they probably wouldn't like me after that message. So we'll just kind of use a mental idea about that. Amen. Every one of us have a bag of seed. It's called the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. And folks, I'm telling you what, we get a lot of Word around here. Praise God. But it's not the will of God that we become the Dead Sea, where all we do is receive, 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 and we don't do any giving. I'm telling you, it's the will of God that we give unto Him. Praise God. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
You're going to reap what you sow. So if you sow the Word of God, there's going to be somebody sitting in the pew that's received the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, as a result of the sowing that you did. Well, praise God. And we're going to look at that a little bit here tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Amen. How many here tonight wants to be poor? I don't think any of us want to be poor. Amen. We want to have enough to get by, and it's kind of nice to go to Taco Tico for a taco burger every now and then. I got a couple of amens there. Praise God. Probably catch Brother Mike over there after church tonight. All right. Praise God. Kind of nice every now and then to have a frozen burrito. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. Somebody can smile just a little bit. I don't want to be poor. I want to reap bountifully. And in order to reap bountifully, we've got to sow bountifully. Amen. We can't have a hit or miss situation, but we've got to be consistent and faithful and dutiful in the work of God and in the will of God for our lives. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, I'm going to move on here tonight. And I've said all of this to go back to our scripture, the text that we read tonight. And our involvement is not optional, but something that we must get involved in. And I can prove that to you by looking at the scripture where the Lord told Solomon how to do it. Amen. Told him what to do, told him, gave wisdom to those to know how to do it, and they got involved. They got involved in moving cedar trees. They got involved in building up piles of gold and silver and brass. And I'm telling you what, it was quite an undertaking to build that tabernacle, or rather the temple. It was no longer a tabernacle, but it was a temple. And it was quite a situation. If you'll just find the place in the scripture where they made the brazen laver, where they washed with water. It was some 10 cubits in diameter. I think it was 15 feet in diameter from here to the wall over there in diameter. It was 4 inches thick, and this was of solid brass, all from one pouring. Now, how they did that way back then, I have no idea. There were 12 oxen, three on each side, brazen oxen. There were carvings and all of this, and it was all poured in one pour. Amen. Now, you know it took a long time for them to get ready for that pour, but they did that so they could wash it the water, and so it would be something that they had contributed to the temple. Amen. Curtains that were blue and purple and scarlet, purple being very difficult to get a hold of. The purple color, from what I understand, was from the clams down at the seashore. And they would get the clams, and somehow or another they would process them, and the purple color would come out of that. And all of the snuffing dishes and all of the pots and pans and the hooks and the pins and the ropes and the skins and everything that they had to do to build this temple unto God. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you, it doesn't just happen that we wish that there would be a church in Augusta, Kansas. Amen. It didn't come about because of a wish. It came about because someone got serious about the work of God. And there are many of you here tonight that feel the same way. Praise God. And the list was great here. The list was great, and it was long, of the things that Solomon made and had made. And it wasn't just the things, but it was the sacrifices that were offered. They got so excited about living for God. They got so excited about this new temple that they were building that they offered oxen and sheep, and they lost counting. There were so many of them. Hundreds of thousands of offerings that were offered upon the altar. Amen. And guess what happened? Revival began to take place. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not minister in the temple because of the glory of God. Amen. Why? Because somebody had taken the time to give a portion of their life into the work of God. Give. Somebody say that with me. Give. God has called us to be givers. Amen. To give of our life, because He gave us our life. And now it's important that we give our life back to Him. Amen. And each of us are here today. Every single one of us here tonight. And I want to try to reach at least one person here tonight. But we have been put here on this world for a purpose and a plan. Amen. There's a purpose and a plan for every young person here tonight. There's a purpose for you, ma'am. There's a purpose for you, sir. God has called us. Amen. Now, I know I'm not shouting and jumping up and down, but hopefully you'll remember what you heard here tonight. Amen. There is a plan for every person here tonight. Amen. There's a plan for every person in our cities. Amen. And it is so very, very true. And the rewards are great and awesome, but the end of the matter will be determined by what you've actually done with your life. Well, praise God. It's not enough, folks, just to come and hear the preaching and say amen. Well, praise God, because that's easy for us to do. We get that all figured out after a while, and we know how to jump up and shout amen. And but what is the most important thing? It's what we do when we walk out the door of the church. What we say and how we live should square with each other. Amen. Praise God. Well, it's not enough just to come and park ourselves on a pew. It's not enough just to come to the house of God, although that's very important. It's very, very important. Amen. But can we get someone here tonight that will say, I'm not just going to hang on by the skin of my teeth, and my only goal is to make it to heaven? Is there somebody here tonight that can get a hold of the vision and say, I'm going to go to heaven, but I'm going to take somebody with me? Praise the Lord. I'm not just going to come and be fed. I'm going to put on my armor and go out and fight the good fight of faith and reach out to somebody and spend the time and the energy that it takes. Amen. And go out of my way, go the second mile. Amen. Well, I'm not getting very many amens here tonight, but I'm telling you what, there's going to come a day, and this is what I'm wanting to preach tonight, is when we stand before God, we're going to say, there it is. This is what I did with my life. You're not going to be able to hold out in your hands and say, I said amen to the preacher 549,354 times. And the Lord will say, well done, good and faithful servant. No, that's not what it's all about, folks. Amen. That's an important part of it. And we love coming to the house of God. We love good preaching. And we've been hearing great preaching here in our church. I'm very thankful. Amen. Feel very good about the direction of the church. Amen. Somebody said amen. It's all right to say amen. We'll just add that to your number. But there's going to come a day for each and every one of us. It doesn't matter how many friends you have in the church. It doesn't matter how popular you are. It doesn't matter of any of those things. It's going to be what is in your hand or what is around you, and you're going to be able to say, there it is. Praise God. Praise God. I can look at this pulpit here tonight, and I can say it took me 6 weeks, and Jordan and Freddie helped me out a little bit after they got out of school, helped me do some heavy lifting. And it took me 6 weeks, $1,000 went into this. I think it would be probably $2,000 or $3,000 worth of materials right now, the way materials are going in price. But 6 weeks over in the Sunday school area, and I would work on it every day. And then at the end of the week, right before Sunday school, I'd push everything up against the wall, cover it with a tarp, and we would have Sunday school. Some of you might remember that. And we've had people come through. I remember we had a minister. I don't remember who it was. But he looked at the pulpit and he just kind of gazed at it. And he said, how in the world did you do that? He was having a hard time figuring out how I made the different things. And so I tried to explain it to him. But I can stand back and I can say, there it is. You know what? I drew it out on a piece of paper before I built it. That's the wise way to do anything. I drew it out on a piece of paper. I measured it out, and I decided this is what I want. But that piece of paper is in a desk drawer somewhere at the house, and I still have it. I still have the dimensions in there. I could build another one just like it. I don't plan on doing that. Amen. We only need one pulpit here. Amen. One pastor, one pulpit, one God. Amen. One wife, one husband. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody could smile just a little bit here tonight. Amen. I can stand back and I can say, there it is. And there it is. Wow. Well, did it just come together? No, it didn't just come together. Was it easy? No, it wasn't necessarily easy. Did it happen overnight? No, it didn't happen overnight. Amen. Young person, get a hold of this message here tonight. It's not about how much you know of the Bible. It's not about how qualified you are to quote Scripture or to read the Word of God. Amen. It doesn't matter if you've got a call on your life to preach the Word of God. If you're not doing something for God, it doesn't mean anything. And when it's all said and done, you'll have empty hands and you won't be able to say to the Lord, there it is. This is what I've done with this precious life that you gave to me. Matthew chapter 25, going to have to hurry along here. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants, that's you and I, and delivered unto them his goods. That right there is, that should make us tremble right there. He gave us his goods not to consume them upon ourselves, but to do something with it. Praise God. Unto one he gave 5 talents, 2 and 1, to every man according to his several ability. Straightway took his journey. He just gave us the keys to the kingdom. Here's what he gave us right here. He gave us seeds so we could be sowers. He gave us material. He gave us everything that he had. And he didn't say, do it this way, that way, or the other. He just gave it to us and then went on his journey and said, I'll be back after a long time. And folks, Jesus is coming back. Amen. But we're all going to give an account. I know this is not a shouting message tonight, but we're all going to ask, God's going to ask us, what's in your hand? What have you done with what I've given you? Now let's go a little bit further here. The first one received the 5 talents, went traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. He got involved. He wasn't afraid. He got involved. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. He got involved. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And I've inserted the words, and there it is. It's not a dream. It's not a wish. Here is the reality of what I've done for you. Praise God. It's the actual proof of my involvement with you. And the one that had 2 talents, he gained other 2 beside them. And he was able to say, there it is. And then the man with 1 talent, he that had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you're a hard man, so and so forth. I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. In other words, there it is. Here's the original talent that you gave me. I've kept it nice and clean. Everything is, there's no less amount than what you gave to me. I'm just going to give you back what you gave to me. And the Lord called him wicked and slothful. Amen. And he said, you should have at least put my money to the bank and got interest off of it. You wouldn't have had to done anything, just put it in the bank and got interest off of it. And notice, cast ye the unprofitable. Everybody said unprofitable. God's looking for people that are profitable for his kingdom. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. The books are going to be open, folks. And maybe we'll have a book of our own. Amen. And maybe that's the plurality of books. Everybody's going to have a book. And we'll be given that book. I'm just conjecturing here tonight. But it could be that in that book, according to our works, according to the Bible studies that we taught, according to the prayers that we prayed, according to the times that we helped someone in need, Amen. Those things are written in the books. And we will be judged according to what we have done. Amen. I know that flies in the face of many today. Amen. That say it's not by works. And I believe we cannot be saved by our own works. Amen. But our good works, Jesus talked about our good works that glorify God. Amen. Are you stirred up tonight that there are so many people that are lost?
Amen.
Well, I'm going to memorize some more scripture. I'm going to try to be more holy. And that's important, and that's very, very good. Please don't misunderstand me tonight. Amen. And if you're just getting started on the road to your reward, make up your mind tonight that you're not going to be like the man with one talent and just have excuses.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I remember when we first came to Augusta, I had just had several heart attacks, was not able to work for 6 solid months, and I found a doctor. Some of you know this story. I found a doctor not far from the church. Went to him and told him my situation, and I told him I need a doctor that can help me with this and help me walk through all of this. And he looked at me and he said, Greg, he said, in 10 years you're going to be dead. He said, we have no cure for what you have, and there's no hope for you. My ears turn red. When I get mad, my ears turn red. My ears turned red, and I just sat there and didn't say anything. He said, I know I'm upsetting you, but I'm just telling you the truth. And I don't know why I even paid the man, but I paid him for that service. And I came home, and I was depressed and feeling sorry for myself for a couple of days. But I gave up on that, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you'll just use me for the next 10 years, I'll win as many people as I can for you. And it was at that point in time that the Bible study with Charlie and Stacy opened up, and I started teaching them Bible study. Amen. And there were lots of hurdles and lots of things, lots of water under the bridge. But we are here tonight. Amen. You are here tonight because somebody came and shared the truth with you.
Amen.
Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Because when it's all said and done, it's not how much you pray that's so important. It is important that we pray, and we must pray. And Brother Cowan, Pastor Cowan, has been leading us into prayer, and we need to get deeper into prayer. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
But it's not enough just to pray. We've got to put legs to our prayers. And when we leave the house of God, say, God, use me today.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. And I'm going to close with this scripture tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. You know what? When you fight a good fight, not one of those fights where it's a knockout in 5 seconds. That's not a good fight. Good fight is when you get knocked down a bunch of times, you just keep getting back up, and before you know it, you're the guy on top. That's a good fight. Well, praise the Lord. And I don't like fighting, but I'll tell you what, I've gotten a few black eyes from the devil.
Amen.
Amen. I've gotten a few black eyes in the work of God. I've had things said about me behind my back. Poor me. Amen. But the Bible says that we should be a good soldier of Jesus Christ and that we should suffer, amen, as a good soldier. Praise God.
Amen.
If you're going to get involved in the work of God, get ready. You're going to have a good fight. And when it's all said and done, amen, maybe the Lord will replay that fight And when it's all said and done, your enemy is laying prostrate on the floor, and you're standing over him shouting the victory.
Amen.
Praise God. It's one thing to say the Lord is with us when the giant's standing out there saying, come and fight me, and you know that story. Amen. But David was willing to take it a step further and say, I'll go fight him. And he got his little sling and his stone, and he went out after that giant and defeated him, cut his head off, and probably lifted his head up in the air and gave him a youthful scream and a yell. And they won the battle that day because somebody was willing to go a step beyond.
Amen.
Is there anybody here tonight that wants to go a step beyond?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, I just want to have an opportunity to preach a sermon. Hey, that's great. But I'm telling you what, you need to teach a Bible study.
Amen.
You need to get somebody and bring them over to your house.
Yes.
Amen. And tell them, hey, we appreciate you. We're praying for you. A text message during the course of the day. Amen. Well, praise God. Because it's not about what we receive, it's about what we give. He said, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. In other words, Paul said, there it is. There it is. You can open my book and you can read about my adventures. Amen. I have been threatened with my life because of preaching the gospel. A man in Marshfield, Wisconsin, came at me with a knife, and it was a long knife, and he was devil possessed, and he was going to kill me because he got caught in his sin, and the first thing he wanted to go and fight against was the preacher. Amen. If you really knew what was involved in preaching, you might not want to do it. Well, praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, I'm not going to get into all that tonight.
Preach.
But if you're going to live for God, you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
That means loving God with all of your might, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, with all of your soul. Amen. And if it's the will of God, and it is the will of God, that Pastor Cowan's been promoting us to get some business cards. How many's picked up on that? Nobody? There's cards up here. Brother Deontay passes out a lot of cards. Amen. And just because we haven't had any results yet, Deontay, God has given results in other areas. Amen. Jesus completed his ministry in this world, and when it was all said and done, if I could paraphrase without taking away from the seriousness of it, he said, it is finished. But I would like to say tonight, he said, there it is. All my miracles, all my teaching, everything that I've done in my life, there it is. And it had an effect even unto this day. Can we stand together? I want to ask you tonight, what about you? Paul talked about his ending of his life. What about you tonight? What have you got in your hand tonight? What have you got tonight that you're working on? Amen. I know it's quiet, and I'm not ministering for the shout. I couldn't if I wanted to because of my physical body tonight, but in my mind and in my spirit, amen. I went and started a church in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and the church is not there today, but in 1 year we baptized 18 people, and this is what I was called to do. I don't expect everybody to do the same thing. But I was working 40 and 50 hours a week on a job in a welding shop. I had a wife and two little children and all the responsibilities that went along with that. And I was teaching nine Bible studies a week. Don't tell me you can't do something for God. You can do something for God. And we started baptizing people. People started receiving the Holy Ghost. One whole family we baptized. The whole family received the Holy Ghost just from a brownie ministry. But somebody said, there's a need here, and I want to give to that need. And maybe you're thinking tonight, well, what I need is pizza after church. What I need is a video game that I'm going to play when I get home. What I need tonight is something for me. Folks, we've got to get out of ourselves, and we've got to start saying, where can I give my life? Where can I give to somebody else? And you will see the results of your giving. Praise God. I know there's not a lot of amens right about now, but I'll tell you what, there's nothing more exciting in living for God than getting involved with people. You'll see miracles take place in a living room. You'll see and hear God's voice speak. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. That's exactly what will happen. Amen. Get involved with people's life, and they'll call you up and say, Pastor, I was praying, and the Lord spoke to me in an audible voice and said, read the word, Mike, read the word. That may not mean anything to you, but it means an awful lot to me. Because the voice that he heard was his pastor's voice. You still remember that to this day. He said, I'll never forget that experience. Oh, well, I know the Bible. I know all about holiness. I know about righteousness. What are you doing with what you have? That's the key right there. There it is. Solomon built it all. And when it was done, he said, there it is. Joshua, I want to be able to present to the Lord and say, there it is. This is what I did with my life. This is what I did every day. And you say, well, what is my life? Your life is what you do every day. Your life is a compilation of what you have done every day of your life. So let's live for God. Amen. Yeah. Let's live for God. Let's pray together right now.